The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parsha is Parsha's Chayesora. In this week's Parsha, we have a wedding. Chasna of Yitzchok with Rivka. So this evening I'm going to speak on a few insights, a few notes in the Sheva Brachas that we are all very familiar with. Firstly, what are the Sheva Brachas? The Chazal were Mesakein. They ordained that at a wedding, at a chasana, we are to make 7 brachas. The first bracha is the bracha on a kashel yain, on a cup of wine. And then 6 further brachas. This is how we make it under the chuppah. Otherwise, when we make it at benching, so we make the bracha, first the 6 brachas, and then the bracha and the cup of wine. Because of the bracha goes on the benching also. Now they ordained that when should we make these 7 brachas, these 7 brachas? Firstly, at the time of the marriage under the chuppah, b'shas ha'nasuin, tachas ha'chuppah. Secondly, etzel hasudis nasuin, at the wedding celebration, the wedding feast. And then thirdly, if it's a first marriage for either of the couple, then we make it during the 7 days of Mishta. They ordain that a chosid and kala should have 7 days, if it's a first wedding by either of them, in which they do not go to work, and they set those 7 days aside to celebrate their marriage. So here, during those 7 days, we make the Sheva Brachas under the following conditions. Firstly, that if there is a meal which is made lichveid hachosan and kala, in honor of the chosan and kala. Secondly, if there is a minyan present, 10 men present. And thirdly, ponim chadoshes, if there is someone present at the meal who was not present at the wedding feast or any of the previous Sheva Brachas. So then they ordained the Zayin Brachas, the 7 Brachas. It's worthy to note here that during the week of celebration, one is not obligated to make the Sheva Brachas, the 7 Brachas. One is merely obligated to make the Sheva Brachas if they are making a celebration, a meal, and the following the conditions which we just mentioned are in place. In other words, they're making that meal in honor of the Chosid and Kala, and there's a minyan there, and there are ponim kadoshes, someone there present who was not there before or at the wedding feast. But one is not obligated to make such a meal, or there is no specific number of meals that he has to make. The reason why I'm saying this is because, contrary to common thought today amongst the populace, people think that you have to make every day a suda which requires Sheva Brachas, or sometimes twice a day, or sometimes 3 times a day. And by the time they're finished with the week of Chasna, the Chosin and the Kala and the Mechutonim and everybody else involved, they are hardly capable of standing up to face married life together, but they really need a health farm. And this is not so at all. The fact is to give you an idea of what they used to do in litter. This was because of their particular circumstances, but to give you an idea, I asked once our very esteemed Rabbi Loi, Zecher Tzadik Livrocha, that how did they make weddings in Lithuania? So he told me that they would make the chuppah Erev Shabbos. Now this is an old custom. That custom is brought already in the Rishenim, in our Chachonim, going back already 700-800 years, if not longer. That it was customary for a number of reasons to make the chuppah Erev Shabbos. But in Litter they did that in particular. Actually it was brought in Mipnei Takonos Anim. It was easier because during the week, who had time to get all dressed up and who had time to shower? In the poor lands, people didn't have showers or baths in their home. There was the public bathhouse. They used to go Erev Shabbos. So in the week, how could they go and come home from work early and stay up late at night and get up early the next morning and again go and serve such a lavish meal in the middle of the week? So therefore the custom was is that they would have the chuppah Erev Shabbos. And then the Sudas Nisuin, the wedding feast, would be Friday night. So I once mentioned to Rabbi Loi, I said, I imagine that they didn't make such a big Suda. I was sure they didn't buy it. Well, there was always the exception. There was always the Osher Muflik, the very wealthy man of the shtetl, but the average person, I was sure they didn't invite 200, 300 people, or even 100 people. But I said, I imagine they didn't make too large of a suda. He says, what am I speaking about? He says, the Sudas Nisuin, the wedding feast, was only the two families. They didn't even have a minyan. It would be their Friday night meal and the two families. And they used to have to call in the neighbors for dessert to make up a minyan in order to say Shevel Brochs. So this was even the wedding feast. So you can take it from there how many Shevel Brochs they made during the week. At any rate, again, the Takona, this that the Chazal ordained, that under the chuppah, yes, there's a minyan, we make the Sheva Brochas. And at the Sudas Nisuin, the wedding feast, we make the Sheva Brochas. But beyond that, only if the people choose to make a Mishteh Suda in honor of the Chosen and Kala during the 7 days, and there is a minyan present, and there is Ponim Chadoshes, there is someone there who was not there before, then one is obligated to make the Sheva Brochas, the 7 Brochas. Now, just to make, like I mentioned, a few notes on the Sheva Brochas. The first brocha that we make after the Beiri Pri HaGofen is Shehakol Bora Lichvedai. We make a brocha that everything was created for His honor, for Hashem's honor. The question is asked is, what kind of brocha is that? What does it mean, everything was made for His honor? So Rashi brings the Masechta Ksubos and Daf Ches. He says this is not really from the Birchas Azug. Not all of the 7 brochas are necessarily a brocha on the marriage. So what is this brocha for? Elala Seifas Am. This is a brocha which we make in honor of all the people that have come together at Chasna. Now, Sefer Sa'am, Anesofim Shom Ligmol Chesed. People that have gathered to come and to do Chesed, Gemilas Chesed, with the Chosen and Kala. Why? Why should we make a brocha for them? Because what they are doing is Zeche Chaz De Amokum. Because they are doing something which is in remembrance of the Gemilas Chesed, of the kindliness that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did, Shenogim Adam HaRishon, that He did with the first man when He brought Chava to him. Shenasele Shushvin, He became, we have what is known, a Shushvin, are the attendants of the chosen and the kala, the shushvinim and the shushvinais. That's what we would call like the best man, and the other, those that others that aid and assist, and the maids, the bridesmaids. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was the shushvin, he was the best man at the wedding. Benisasek Bai, and he helped with the arrangements. Vaseif Azu Kfeid HaMokom Hu. And the reason why we come to a chasana is to do like he did. Ubroch Azu Lekach Nishkeno. And therefore, Kodesh Baruch Hu, therefore the Chazal, the sages, ordained that we make a brocha. Umishasa Seifa Hu Roi Lavorech. Really, this brocha we should make right at the beginning of the wedding, when all the people assemble. But since later on we're going to make the brochas on a cup of wine, which is more honor to the brochas, so they save this brocha for later on. So what Rashi is explaining is this brocha is a brocha for the gathering, because the gathering is a demonstration in honor of Hashem's chesed to Adam and Chava on their wedding day. And we are obligated to emulate his chesed. We are obligated in the mitzvah of a halachta bidrochov to follow in his ways. Incidentally, this is very important, because this will tell us why we come to a chasana. We are obligated in the mitzvah of a halachta bidrochov to walk in his ways. And he took time off and went to great effort, as we'll see in a minute. He and his angels to make a very, very wonderful wedding and wonderful wedding day for Adam and Chava. So therefore, we have to do the same. This is why we come to a chasana. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu took time off for the chosen and kala. So we also have to do that. And therefore the assembly is a demonstration to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's chesed. And therefore, we make a brocha on the assembly. And that's what the meaning of the first brocha is, Shahakol Bora Lichvedoi, that everything that was created for the honor of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We are assembling here for the honor of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So this is not from the Birchas Hazug, we're not making a brocha on the marriage here. And therefore, really, it could have been done right at the beginning, but we save it to make it together with the other brochas and the keshel yain and the cup of wine. Now, where do we see so much what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for the wedding of Adam and Chava? One place is in the Gemara in Masechet Erevin. The Gemara brings on Daf Yud Ches, Seif Omer Aleph and Reif Omer Beis. In the Torah, in Gracious, in Perek Beis, Posachot Beis. Firstly, right before that, it says that Ula Adam Le Motze Ezer Kenegdei. Everyone had a mate, and Adam did not find any mate for himself. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu had said before, Leitov Yos Adam Levade, it's not good for a man to be alone. Esele Ezer Kenegde, I will make a helpmate for him. So Vayapel Hashem Elokim Tadem Ala Adam Vayishon. HaKadosh Baruch Hu put man into a great sleep. Vayikach Achas Mitzal Esav, and he took one of his sides, one of his ribs. Vayizko Bosa Tachteno, and then he closed the flesh beneath it. Vayiven Hashem Elokim es hatzela asher lokach min Adam liisha. And he built from the rib, which he took from man, he built it into a woman. Vayivieha el ha'adam, and he brought her to man. Vayim ha'adam zeis hapam, and man said this time, he was all elated. Etzem me'atzomai, This is a bone from my own bones. Ubosem yibesori. This is a flesh from my own flesh. Lezeishi korei isho. She shall be called isho. Ki me ish lukochazeish. Because she was taken from ish, from man. Alkein yazov ish. Esovi vesimai. Therefore, man should forsake his father and mother. Vidobak biishta and cleave to his wife. Vehoyu lebosar echod and should be one flesh. They should be one flesh. Now the Gemara in Erevim says, what does it mean by Yivan Hashem Elokim Esatzelo? It uses the word by Yivan. By Yivan is a strange word because it actually means to build. So the Gemara brings the Dorish Reb Shimon ben Menashe. By Yivan Hashem Elokim Esatzelo Melamed Shekilo HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lechavo. He says, not only did he make her from the bone, but Shekilo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he braided and he set her hair so she should look very beautiful. Ve'yoviel Adam HaRishon, and he brought her to Adam HaRishon, the first man. She came b'kroche yam karin l'kilito b'niyoso, because in far off places they used to refer to the braiding of the hair and the setting of the hair as b'niyoto, from the word vayivan. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu went, and before bringing Chava to Adam, so he didn't just bring her, but he attended to her, so she should look very, very beautiful. So here we see HaKadosh Baruch Hu made himself a shushvin, an attendant for the kala. Incidentally, when we say Chava was very, very beautiful, the Chazal tell us that she was the most beautiful woman of creation. The sages tell us that there were four women of outstanding beauty throughout creation, but none of them could compare to Chava, because Chava was perfect. She was made by HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. Then the Gemara says further, Dover Acher, then the Gemara says on Amud Beis, top of Amud Beis, the Gemara asks, what's bothering the Gemara, what does it mean by Yivi'oh Eha Al Ha'odom? It says that he made her and then he brought her to man. Why did he have to bring her? She was made right there. He put man to sleep, he took a bone, he made the bone into a woman, so she was there. He just had to wake up the man. So what does it mean by Yivi'eho Haloh Adam? What is the Torah telling us? He brought her to man. Melamed she'osa HaKadosh Baruch Hu shushvinus l'Adam HaRishon. To tell us that he became a shushvin. He didn't just leave her there, but he became the unterfuhrer. That he escorted her and he marched her to Adam, to man, to present it to man. Mikan, from here we learn, legodl shiase shushvinais lekot, val yeralei. From here we learn where it's a mitzvah, not only to be a shushvin for a chosan and kala, to be an attendant, but even for a greater person, to be attendant for a chosan and kala who are of lesser stature than them. Because here HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself was becoming the attendant, the best man, or the for the chosen, or for the kala, who were far lesser of a stature than them. Rashi says, what does it mean that one should become a shushvin? Shenishtadl b'chitunai l'samchai, that he should put in effort in the chasana to make them happy, and to help take care of all of the necessities of the wedding feast. So this is what we see HaKadosh Baruch Hu did. The Pirkei Reb Lezer elaborates more. And the Pirkei Reb Lezer in Perek Yud Gimel, in the middle of the Perek, states, Eser Chupais, Also, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lord HaMarishim Gan Eden. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made 10 chuppahs for Adam and Chava, for the first man and woman in Gan Eden. And we'll see in a minute what the source is. V'kulan shel avonim tovos u'magolies v'shel zov. Each chuppah was made from precious stones and margolias, precious stones and pearls and gold. So here we have a source that when we make a chuppah, we must make it beautiful and ornamented. And then the Pirkei de Rav Lezer asks, "V'halei lechol choson ein eisin le ele chuppah achas." For a choson, you only make one chuppah. V'lamelech ein eisin ele shleish chuppahs. For a king, you make three chuppahs. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu make 10 chuppahs? Lach lekoved leod marishin. In order to give special honor, this was the first wedding that the world was to witness. And in order to give special honor to it, he made 10 chuppahs. Bingan Eden. What is its source? In Yecheskel, Yecheskel it states in Perichof Ches, Pasuk Yud Gimel. So Yecheskel is telling man. Well, actually, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving a prophecy to Yecheskel. So in that prophecy stated is this. They're telling, speaking of the greatness of man, Be'eden gan elekim hoyiso. You were in Eden, in the garden of Hashem. Kol even yukora misuchasecha. And every precious stone became your sukkah. Misuchasecha. Now what does that mean? So the Gemara, the Pirkei Rav Lezer is darshanin, that every precious stone became your chuppah. Misuchasecha became your covering, your sukkah. And then the Pasuk lists off 10 precious stones. Odem, Pidato, Vayalem, Tarshish, Soham. That's 5. The Yoshve, Sapir, Nefech, Uvarakas, Vizov. That's 10. 10 precious stones. See? Diamonds, and sapphires, and gold, and so forth. Then it says, states, Tupecho, Unikovecho, Boch. Tupecho and Kovecho are musical instruments. Tupim. And there's another Unikovecho that Mefarshim brings is another musical instrument that had a lot of holes in it. Biyayim hiboracho keinoneu, on the day that your creator created you. This was the importance of man. So the Pirkei de Rav Lezer darshins from there that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made 10 chuppahs for the first man and woman, each one of precious stones, gold, and so forth. Gohoyu amalochi meseipipim besupim umaraktim kinakevis. And the angels, they played the musical instruments. See? They played the tubim. This is why we have music at the chuppah. At the chuppah, at the chasana. Incidentally, when we speak of music, we could go discuss whether today there's music at the chasana. Say, if you call that music, I've mentioned this story a number of times. This goes back already. When we lived in America, now we're here already 26 years, so this goes back a long time ago. And in the last 26 years, I can tell you the music has become louder and louder and louder each year. So at that time I had a Rosh Hashiva in our house. He was a Nevada Rosh Hashiva. And this was in St. Louis. And somehow we got into discussion of weddings, and he told me he doesn't go. He was an older man, European Rosh Hashiva yet. And he told me he doesn't go to Hasnas anymore in New York. Why? He says the noise. He can't take the noise. Too much noise. So I asked him, well, I says, in Litter, didn't you have this? He says, Vosaretta, what are you talking about? I says, but surely there must have been klezmer, there must have been music. He says, me gespielt mit a fiddle. Das ist gewesen schön. He says, someone played a violin. This was beautiful. So that's what I'm saying. One can discuss if there's music today at the weddings. At any rate, there were the malochim, the sepipim, the tupim. They were playing the tupim. This is a musical instrument. Now the Pirkei the Reb Lezer Darshins, see the, it says also Benekuvais, this was another musical instrument it brings in Yecheskel. They darshin not that, but they darshin kinekevas. It says they were maraktim kinekevas. The angels danced like women. What does it mean, dance like women? The Chazal, actually there's a maral in this, he explains it, that women by nature are better dancers than men, according to the opinion of the Chazal. So therefore, when you want to express good dancing, so you say that they danced as good as women. So that's what is bringing here the darshan from Nekuvais, the Maraktin Kinekevais, that the angels danced like women. Shenemar, as it states, Meleches Tupecha Onukovecha Boch. So from here you see a source that one should dance for the Chosen and Kavah. And this was on the day when Adam HaRishon was created, and he was his chasana. Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu LeMalachi HaShores. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to his angels, Bo'u v'nigmal chesed lor HaRishon l'Ezra. Come, let us go and do chesed, do kindliness to man and his Ezer, and his wife, his mate. He called the angels, said, we're going to make a wedding. We're not just going to let them get married just like that. We'll go make a wedding and we'll make a big simcha. And we will be the ones who will be the attendants and be mesameach. She'al midas gemilas chasodim ha'elam ha'emet. Kodesh Baruch Hu told the angels how important this is, because through gemilas chesed is one of the pillars on which the world stands. So here we see that the mitzvah of Simchas Chosen and Kala is bechlal, is inclusive in the midah of Gemilas Chesed. Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Chaviva Gemilas Chasodim Mizvochim Ve'eles, that he loves Gemilas Chesed greater than Zvochim and Eiles, greater than the sacrifices. She Yisrael Asirim Lakliv Lefone Al Gabi Mizbeach. The Klal Yisrael is going to be makriv, is going to sacrifice before me on the altar. Shenemar, as it states in Eshea, ki chesed chofatzti v'leizovach. Kodesh Baruch Hu says, I want kindliness. I do not want sacrifices. V'hoyu malachi ha'shores kemei shushvinim. So the malachi ha'shores became shushvinim. They became the best men and the wedding attendants. Ha'meshamri mesach chupais. And they went and they stood around all of the 10 chuppas, guarding the chuppas. Here I always say, from here is a source to the pole holders. Because around the chuppah you put 4 pole holders, that they stand, they are actually not necessarily really, I mean, if the chuppah is not self-standing, you're going to have pole holders. But if it's self-standing, what do you need pole holders for? They're actually as an honor guard, like the angels, they were meshamri mesachupais. They stood all around the chupais, as it states, "Ki malocha v'yitzav aloch lishmoch bechol drachecho." Kodesh Baruch Hu said that I will command angels to guard you in all of your ways. And the Pirkei Reb Lezer says, "Your ways means the derech hasanim. The drachecho is derech hasanim. That refers to the ways of a chosen and kala on their wedding day." And then it brings that HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Malach, Malachim were like a chazan. Ma darko shel chazan eimed u'mevorech lekala b'sei chachupa. What does a chazan do? He stands and he is mevorech, he blesses the kala in the chupa. Kach HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so did HaKadosh Baruch Hu Omad, he stood Uveirach Le'odom Ule'ezroi, and he blessed Odom and his wife, as it states, this is in the Parshin Chumash, Vayivorech Eisom Elekim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu blessed them both. So what do we see? Actually, there's another Gemara in Sanhedrin that also mentions that the angels went and they were cooking the food for the Simcha. What do we see? We see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, with his angels, held that when someone gets married, it should not just be a marriage, but there must be a celebration. And therefore, it's a great mitzvah to help in this celebration. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Malachim himself went and did this. Because of this, we do the following. So therefore, we go to a chasna to be mesameach the chosen megala, or those who are actually involved. And therefore, the assembly is in honor of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that gave honor and chesed to the first zug, the first couple. And therefore, that brocha shakol bora lichvedoi represents that. Okay? Then, after that, we have two brochas. The first one is Yotzer HaOdom, where we make a brocha thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for creating man. And the next one is Asher Yotzer HaOdom B'Tzalmai. We thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, bless HaKadosh Baruch Hu because he created man in his own image. B'Tzalem the Mustab Nisai. And then Hiskin Leimimenu Binyan Adead. And then from man he made a Binyan Adead. That's by even he made a woman who would help to give man eternity, where they would live on forever. The simple meaning is that through this they would have children and they would live on forever. Now why do we have two brochas? So again, Rashi explains in Masechta Ksubos. There's two possible ways, in order to simplify it, that in the beginning of creation, according to one opinion in the Gemara, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Zohar or Keva Borom Eshom. When Hashem created man, both Zohar and the Keva, both male and female, were in man. This that we learn, that he put man to sleep, and from him he made a female, this was merely the separation of them. Because it states later on in the Torah, let me see if I can find it. Yeah, in Bereishis Hey, it states, Sefer Sefer told us Odom. This is the book of the generations of man. B'yem Berei Elakim Odom, on the day which he created man, B'dmus Elakim Osei Shoi, he made him in the image of Hashem. Zochan Akeva Borom, he created them both, Zochan Akeva, male and female. Vayivorech Eisom, Vayikra Shmom Odom, and he blessed them and he called them Odom, B'yem He Borom, when he created them. So, this means that he created them together. Later on, when he put man to sleep, this was the separation process. So therefore the first brocha goes on Yetzer HaOdom, that refers to man who was created alone, but encompassed both Zohar and the Keva, male and female. The second brocha goes on the second creation, of which he took this female from man and made a second Yetzirah. Shtei Yetziras, he made a second Yetzirah, a second creation from her. And that's what it means, Asher Yetzer HaOdom Odom B'Tzalmai, and then V'hiskin Lei Mimenu Binyan Adead. He created man, and from man he created woman. The Vilna Gaon believe it's in his Pirush Mishlei, he asks the question. He says, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to create two separate beings, two separate entities, so why didn't he do that in the first place? Why did he first create them as one entity and then have to separate them? And if he wanted to create in the first place one entity like he did, so then why be safe? Why in the end did he separate them? Good question. So he answers as follows. He says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's plan was that they must be two separate entities, because it states, Aser lo Adam Ezer Kenegdai, I will make for man someone who can help him. The Chazal always use a parable that a prisoner cannot release himself. A person cannot be a help to himself as good as someone whose external can be a help to him. So therefore, if there's going to be the Ezer Kenegdoi, they have to be Shtei Yetziras, they have to be two entities where they can help each other. So the plan was, is that what it should be? So then there's the question, so why did he make them as one entity to begin with and then separate them? Because he wanted them to have the Achdus, he wanted them to have the unity, a total unity, a perfect unity. And if he had made them in the first place as two separate entities, then how can two separate entities become one? Therefore, first he made them as one. Then he split them into two in order that they could be of help to each other. But now that they were originally made of one, so they can have a total unity, a total Achdus. This is how he explains this. Now this gives us an insight that in all of the Shas, the Chazal, the sages, always refer to relatives differently than man and wife. The relationship of relatives it always refers to as krevim, krevi atzmai, which means relations or blood relations. But when it comes to man and wife, never calls them krevim, doesn't call them relations. See? They're not related to each other. Today you marry people that are totally unrelated to you, not from the same family. Actually, you marry a stranger. But the sages refer to them as ishtei kigufay ubal ki ishtei. That a woman is synonymous with her husband, the husband is synonymous with the woman. Their link is different. Right? Relations is where you are born from a common person or a common persons. And therefore, by birth, you're related. But husband and wife are not related. But to the contrary, they become one after they get married. How can they become one? They're totally strangers. That was because of their original sheirish, the original source. When they were created as one. And then they were separated. Because of that, the Chazal always view the relationships between man and wife as closer than that of related families or relations within families. Because they never have that dimension of ishtei kigufay or balki ishtei, where the two people become synonymously as one. Now, in order for this, though, had HaKadosh Baruch Hu left them together, they would be virtually one. But because he separated them, and now they became two, and eventually they get the two people, man and woman, go off into the population, and then later on they will get married, and they're not related to each other at all. So because of that, in order to come back into one again, they need a special brocha. And that brocha is the Hashros HaShchina. That's the Shechina B'neihem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu who dwells between them. And this, the Pirkei that Rav Lezer brings out, also in that Pirk, where he says as follows. Originally, HaKadosh Baruch Hu called them Odom. He says, why were they called Odom? Hashem Bos V'Dom. Because physically they were one. Flesh and blood. Mishibon Le'ezri Ezer Isha Nikrishma Ish V'Ihi Isha. He only called them Ish and Isha after he had separated them. That's when Odom said that I'm going to call her Isha, or to refer to, only after he separated them. So the question, why were they not called Ish and Isha before the separation? They were called Odom before the separation, or they were called Zochar V'Nekeva, male and female. But why were they not called Ish V'Isha until they were separated? Now, Ish V'Isha is a special name. Why? Pirkei Rav Lezer brings, because it has the Shem Hashem. Ish has a Yud in it, which the Yud is part of Hashem's name, and the Isha has a Hey in it, which is the other part of Hashem's name. It says that B'Yud Hey, with those two letters, Kodesh Baruch Hu created the worlds. So we see Ish V'Isha are special names. Then Odom. Odom, he brings here, is because it comes from the word Bos V'Dam, flesh and blood. Or, other places we know Odom because Adoma is made from the earth. Only after they were separated, then they are called, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them the name, and Odom also, Ish V'Isha. Why this special name? So the answer is like we're saying. When they were together, they didn't need a brocha to be one. They were one. But once HaKadosh Baruch Hu split them into two, and now they go off on their own. And they're even born into other families. And they're totally strangers to each other. So how are they going to become one again? For that they need a special brocha. And that brocha is Hashem. Therefore he placed his name in their name. He placed the Yud in the Ish, and he placed the Hey in the Isha. What did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do after he split them? How are they going to come together now? Nosan Shmei B'neihem. He placed his name between them, the Yud and the Hey. And he said, Im holchim bidrochai, if they will go walk in my ways, v'shemri mitzvosai, and they will guard my mitzvahs, haresh mi nosan b'neihem, therefore my name is amongst them, u'matzil eson mikol tzora. And I will save them from all sorrow. Im lav, but if not, then hareini neitel shmi b'neihem. I take my name out of their names. If you take the Yud out of the Ish and the Hey out of the Isha, you get Esh Esh, two fires. Ve'nasim Esh Esh, they become two fires. Ve'esh echeles Esh, and one fire consumes the other. So this is, this is why when they were separated they have the possibility of coming back to the totality that they were at the original creation, but that's only with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's help and his brocha. So therefore at that time he gave them his name. And if they, he says, if they walk in my ways and they guard my mitzvahs, actually the there's other commentaries that say here, and specifically they will be loyal to each other, then they can return to that source. But if not, then they become two fires that consume each other. Actually, from here we can understand something else. The Maral brings that he asks, why is it, the Chazal tell us, that after the giving of the Torah, it states that the people were vayifku bochul vayifku, they wept bochul lemishpecheseichem al iske mishpecheseichem. The people wept when they heard the mitzvah of arayis, the dinim, the laws of forbidden marriages. The forbidden marriages which were given to first man, Adam, and the generations following, the Bnei Noach, the sons of Noach, are very limited, extremely limited. There are only two or three relatives that they are not allowed to marry, and someone else's wife, extremely limited. And kacho yonag, and this was the custom. People would marry relatives that were permitted according to the laws of the Bnei Noach, of the sons of Noach. And Matan Torah, when the Torah was given, so then we were given all kind of relatives that were not allowed to marry. Actually, the Mishnah in Yevamos starts out with 15, and then there's another 5 or 6 more, and more, and so on. We were of relatives we're not allowed to marry. When they heard this, the people, they wept. They were upset with this, these laws. The Maral asks, why? Because it's so difficult. The whole 613 mitzvahs are difficult. The Neach, Bnei Neach were given only 6 or 7 mitzvahs. Adam 6 and they 7. We're given 613. So it couldn't be because just because it's too difficult. So he says, because there's a special reason. He says, these laws are really contrary to the seichel, contrary to the human intelligence. Because the human intelligence decrees that really one should marry a close relative. It's contrary to intelligence that two people who are totally unrelated and they don't even know each other, all of a sudden they become man and wife and set up house together and create a family. Okay? The whole mitzvah of marriage is krevus, of making one out of two. So the intelligence decrees, the intellect decrees that you should take two who are already close together. Therefore, it would be very right for a person to marry close relatives, right? A sister, a daughter, whatnot. And this is why it went against the grain. It was a difficult mitzvah to understand. Right? And this is what we're speaking about. Because the unity of man and wife is not based on the fact that they are close to begin with, as far as Mishpocha goes, because to the contrary, they come from just opposite Mishpochas. They come from just the opposite. They come from a total unrelationship. The unity of man and wife goes back to the creation of the world, but that's something that we can't see. And this is why they were bochul l'mishpecheseichem, al iske mishpecheseichem. This mitzvah was so difficult for them. It's interesting to note, though, that the Gemara says that it's a mitzvah to marry Basa Chesed. It's a mitzvah for one to marry his sister's daughter. Rashi there asks, why a sister's daughter? A sister's daughter is a niece. One is allowed to marry a niece. But the Gemara says it's a mitzvah. But why a sister's daughter then? Why not a brother's daughter? What's the difference?
So Rashi says, yes, a brother's daughter also, but a sister's daughter one is even closer to. See, one seems to have a closer affinity to a sister than to a brother, and therefore a sister's daughter is even closer to. So why is the mitzvah then? So this comes back to what we said, that once we finish with the parameters of those close relationships that one cannot marry, then to the contrary, the closer the relationship, the better the shidduch. It's a mitzvah to marry. And that's why a niece or a niece is a mitzvah. This goes to another point, that generally this was very common in the last generations, and it could have, and we see from even previous generations, that people would seek relatives to marry. It's common, cousins and so forth. See, they would seek relatives, or at least they would seek. Here we see by Avraham, he wanted to send Yitzchok for a zivug for Yitzchok back to his family, and they would seek common backgrounds. I once heard from Rabbi Avigdor Miller, he should be well, that once the question was asked to him that should someone marry a person who comes from a totally different background. For example, an Ashkenazi, Asfadi Ashkenazi, whatever it might be, totally different background. So he gave an answer from the Slobodka Rosh Yeshiva. He says, the question was asked to the Slobodka Rosh Yeshiva. And he answered. He says, to take two unrelated people and to make one out of them, this is a miracle. Only HaKadosh Baruch Hu can do it. This is why the Gemara says that it's such a great miracle, the marriage of two people. So he says, why do we have to try to make a greater miracle than necessary? At least if you take two people, all right, they're not blood relations. But at least they have something common between them, a common background, that they come from the same village or city or so forth, or from the same family. It's enough of a miracle. Why do we have to push it to make even greater miracles? So this gives us, at any rate, an insight into that. We'll go to one more point. We have another brocha, which states, this is the next to the last brocha. Sameach tesamach reim ha'uvim, kesameichacho yitzircho b'gan Eden mikedem. Well, we ask the Kodesh Baruch Hu that you should bring simcha, b'mesameach the reim ha'uvim, the beloved friends, like you were mesameach your creation in Gan Eden mikedem. Now, generally, we don't make brochas which speak about Gan Eden. That's a rarity. The fact is, I don't even know offhand where there might be another brocha where we talk about Gan Eden, the Garden of Eden. And why should we therefore here ask the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, make a brocha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mesameach the chosen and kala, and ask him that he should be mesameach them like Yitzircha he was in Gan Eden? Now this has to do with what we are talking about. I once heard from my Rebbe, Rav Mordechai Gifter, he should be well. He said that what we are asking for is the same simcha that Adam and Chava experienced by their marriage. And that must have been a real simcha, because aside from the fact of the simcha of the marriage, that was a simcha in Gan Eden. So there was a Gan Eden dika simcha. This is the simcha that we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to bring to the Chosen Gala. So I just want to be marchi, broaden a bit the explanation of what my Rebbe was referring to. And that is that in everything that we celebrate, it's the source the source of the celebration that brings to the fore the experiences that we experience at the time of the celebration. For example, when we celebrate Pesach and we speak of Chayrus, freedom, and Pesach brings every year a new light, a new experience of freedom to those who keep Pesach. Where is that coming from? That's coming from the freedom which was experienced by Klal Yisrael at the time of the going out of Egypt, because this was the source of Pesach. Shavuos is a Matan Torah, the giving of the Torah. We can experience to a degree what took place at the time of the giving of the Torah. Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, the same thing. Each in its own unique way. What is the source of a marriage? It's not Pesach. It's not Sukkot. It's not Shavuos. The source of the marriage is what we learned about in Pirkei Reb Lezer. Was the marriage of Adam and Chava. Now that has something very unique about it that nothing else has. Because aside from the great simcha that they had, that they were brought together, and aside from the fact that they were the first chasana in the world, where did it take place? Their wedding took place in Gan Eden. The Yetzias Mitzrayim didn't take place in Gan Eden. And the giving of the Torah didn't take place in Gan Eden. Their wedding took place in Gan Eden. This means that their simcha was magnified beyond shiur because it was in Gan Eden. And we are, when a chosen and a kala gets married, the source then is a simcha which comes from Gan Eden. And this is what we mishpalel for. We make a brocha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be mesameach a chosen and kala, that he should be sameach tisamach reim ahuvim ki sameichacho yitzircho ben Gan Eden mikedem. He should be mesameach them in the same way that he was mesameach Adam Arish, Adam and Chava in Gan Eden. So with this Gan Eden dike simcha, with this, we can understand one more point, and this is something which I heard from my other Rebbe. This was Ramot Chaikat Zecher Tzadik Lebrocha, the older tells the Rosh Yeshiva. He asked the question, the last brocha, we say, we bless HaKadosh Baruch Hu because he created, and we list here 10 different types of simchas. Asher Bora Sosan. It's a whole study to know how these 10 types, different types of simchas differ from each other. He created Sosan and Simcha and Gila and Rina and Ditzo and Chedva, Ava v'Achva, Sholom v'Reus. It's mentioned 10 different types of either simchas or chiba, endearments, loves. Now, okay, there are the challenges, as I mentioned, to understand each one and to distinguish each one from the other. But in the middle is thrown in Chosen v'Chala. What's Chosen and Chala have to do with it? He created Sosan, he created Simcha, he created Ditzo, he created Achva. So speaking about 10 different dimensions of Simcha, then is thrown in the middle Chosen v'Chala. This was a question that Ramotl asked. And this question he answered, we were learning once, we had a group where we learned Medrash Shir HaShirim. And he answered it with a Medrash, because from the Medrash it became obvious that Chosen and Kala is a Simcha in its own right. That the Simcha that a Chosen and Kala experience is not that they're experiencing an everyday simcha, except it's more intensive. But it's a bria bifnei atzmo, it's a creation in its own right, just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu created what is known as shoson, and he created what is known as simcha, and he created what is known as gilo, and what is known as rina. He also created such a creation which is known as chosen and kala, simchas chosen and kala. And this was clear from that medrash. And now we can understand it very well, because the simcha of chosen and kala was experienced by Adam HaRishon, the first simchas chosen and kala, in Gan Eden. Therefore it carries with it a different dimension. So the bracha before, we asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we bless HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he has been misameach to chosen and kala, these experiences that they are emotionally feeling, these are the experiences that go back to Gan Eden. And we asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu that that tam, that taste of Gan Eden, should be with them. And then in the other bracha, we bless HaKadosh Baruch Hu on all of the creations of simcha that he created, and we list 10 there, and the simcha of chosen and kala, which is a creation in its own right. These are a few notes on design brachas, the 7 brachas that we have at the time of the chasm.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.